Ephesians 6. You ready? We're going to do something I do once every 25 years. This is the day. I don't technically know if it's been 25 years, but we're going to do this today and talk about how to pray for the sick. There are some diseases that'll never be conquered apart from prayer. Some people can receive by faith. You read them the Word of God, you instruct them in the death and resurrection of the Lord and the stripes of Jesus, and they believe that and they confess that and they are healed. It's the same with salvation. Some people, one lady came to me and bought her friend, and she said, "My friend wants to be born again. I don't know how to help her." Well, I thought that was sad that she didn't know how to help her, but on the other hand, I was glad to help her. And all I did was read her the Word, and she said, "That's what I want." So we didn't pray over that. We didn't sweat over it. She was ready with her faith. Some people will never receive with faith apart from prayer. And it's going to take travailing prayer in order to bring them into the kingdom, in order to bring healing to their body. I'm going to prove that to you today. Now in verse 18, chapter 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Praying always with all prayer. The translators say, praying always with all kinds of prayer, or all manner of prayer, all kinds of prayer. Now, we think a prayer is give to me, do for me, I need, I want. And we don't go much farther than that. And we're not versed in the different kinds of prayer. Now, you know if you're fixing chicken, there's different ways to fix chicken. Christmas, we're going to branch out and have chicken and rice with our ham. But you can have chicken and dumplings. My grandmother was the champion of chicken and dumplings. She made dumplings as thin as a piece of paper. Thin as a piece of paper. They were magnificent. We've tried, but nobody can duplicate that. And before Granny went to be with the Lord, I went over and took lessons. And she kept saying, "You got to use cold water, Becky Sue. You got to use cold water." And that's the only thing I remember about the whole process was, you got to use cold water. You can grill chicken. You can fry chicken. You can go buy it and let somebody else fry it for you. That would be my preference. A lot of ways to do chicken. And you know there's a lot of different needs, and if there's a lot of different needs, there's a lot of different ways to pray about those needs. Now, it says praying with all prayer, all kinds of prayer. The kind of prayer we're particularly familiar with is the prayer of faith in Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. That's a prayer that changes things for you. That puts your prayer request before the Father. It says, whatever, listen to me, whatever you desire, when you pray, that you believe that Mabel will receive. See, you put great stress on that scripture because that isn't what it says. This isn't a prayer for you to pray for Mabel. My brother, he's a pastor, and I taught for him one time, and he said, "Who in the world is Mabel?" Mabel is nobody. Whatever you desire, when you pray, that you believe that you receive, it changes things in your life. And it's based on the Word of God. Faith comes from hearing the Word of God, not from having heard the Word of God. Faith comes by what God is speaking to you today. There are two words, logos, which has to do with the volume of the book, and rhema, which has to do with the word that God's speaking to your heart today. And faith comes by the rhema word, what God is doing in your heart now. And it's based on that now word that's alive in your heart that you can place your request for the Father. Now, it says in James that if there's any sick among us, let's call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. The prayer of faith will save the sick. That's the person who is in faith, but their physical condition has hindered them from being stalwart in prayer, and they've asked elders or the mature in the Lord to come and stand with them and help with them, and they're going to add their faith, and you add your faith, and you're going to stand with them for what they believe to receive. And that's one kind of prayer. See, if you're in a weakened condition, you can get help. You don't have to stand alone. And then we have the prayer of agreement, which is in Matthew 18. Where two or three agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done for them of the Father which is in heaven. Where two or three agree, there am I in the midst. Now, everybody uses that verse to say that when we have a church meeting, God is here. And although that is true, that's not what that verse says. It's talking about the two or three that have come together in agreement. Now, we can't come together in agreement and agree for Mabel if Mabel's not here or if Mabel's not in agreement. You can't push anything off on anybody. And the two or three in agreement, one of them, this is their request. And so we're all agreeing with Mabel about what she needs. And we're standing stalwart until she sees what she needs come to pass, the prayer of agreement. Now, when Jesus prayed before his crucifixion, he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." That's the prayer of submission. It's the only prayer with the "if it be my will" in it. You can't say, "Heal me if it be your will." Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have. There's no "if it be thy will." It's based on the Word of God. It's based on the death and resurrection of our Lord. And so it's stalwart and firm. But what Jesus is saying is, "I'm going to do this your way, whatever you want, Father." And it's a prayer of total and complete submission. You can see as you study the Scripture, there are many different kinds of prayer. Now, there's the prayer of commitment. You may not think of this as prayer, but it actually is prayer. It's when you have a worry, a care, a fret, anxiety, and you turn that over to the Lord, casting all your care upon Him. 1 Peter 5, casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. That's when I'm turning loose of this problem. I'm giving it to you, Lord. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to worry about it. If it comes up in my heart, I say, no, that's God's problem. See, if you're worried and you're fretting, you're anxious about something, you're putting a roadblock so that your faith won't work. Now, they're working on a new subdivision, which will come to pass in our neighborhood. And so they've got the roads all blocked. We forgot this morning. Fortunately, we left early. And you come to that point, you see the little sign on the road, you know, and the man with the flag. And that's what worry does to your faith. Slows you down. And you can't worry, you can't fret. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares. Now, that doesn't mean, some translations are so shallow in my book. It says, because He's concerned. I don't need you to be concerned. I need you to do something. Casting all your care upon Him, for He will. If you hire a caretaker, you don't want Him to just give you a written report. Isn't that right? You want them to do something. You don't want them to tell you the azaleas are. Your azaleas already in bloom? Our azaleas are supposed to bloom in February, and they're full of bloom. I went out and talked to them. I said, "You know what, guys? You're a little early." Well, after they bloom, you can trim them down so that they'll be ready to bloom next year. And if you wait too late to trim them down, they won't bloom next year. If you trim them too close to the ground, they won't bloom for 3 years. Ask me how I know that. But you're given every worry. We're not fretting over the azaleas. We're not fretting over the grass. Just give me a report. Tell me how much you charge me and do it. And God said, if you cast that on me, guess what? I'll fix it for you. He's going to fix it. It's a type of prayer. There are many types of prayer. And it helps to know what type of prayer you're praying. But with the Holy Ghost on the inside, He will guide your praying. So if you don't know, you don't know. You need to learn and grow and know. But God is still going to lead you in the right direction for your present need. You see that. Now there's the prayer of intercession. Did you know that was where I was going? Intercession is when you pray for somebody else. Intercession, you don't intercede for yourself. Pray the prayer of faith for yourself. Pray the prayer of agreement. Intercession. Praying for another. Now, Abraham interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah. He prayed for them. Now, this is the most helpful information to me. Nobody there asked for prayer. I don't care if they wanted your prayer or not. I really don't care. The people in Sodom and Gomorrah were living in gross sin. They were happy at that. They had a chance to escape. They'd rather burn. I don't think it occurred to them that's what was going to happen. Even Lot's family wouldn't come out and be rescued. But see, Abraham stood, and when the Lord said, "I'm going to Sodom and Gomorrah," he came with two angels, and he said, "We're going to check it, Sodom and Gomorrah, out." And knowing that their destruction was imminent, Abraham said, "Will you destroy the righteous?" He assumed there might be righteous people there because Lot, his nephew, was there. Now, we know from the New Testament that Lot was grieved with Sodom and Gomorrah, so we know he wasn't all in with the sin, but he was living there. And the angels came, and Sodom and Gomorrah was glad to see the angels there. They thought they were men they could prey upon. And so he Abraham said, how about 40, how about 30, how about 20, how about 10? Now, this is my theory based on no facts under consideration. I believe there must have been 10 people in Lot's family. And Abraham assumed that all 10 people would hear the voice of the Lord and want to be rescued. We know he had daughters, and we know he had sons-in-laws. We know he had a wife, he and his wife, and we know he had sons. That's already 8. I think he thought there would be Abraham, Lot's family that would want to be rescued, but they didn't. Did that stop Abraham from praying? There was a man in a healing line. He was demonized. We don't say demon oppressed because there are degrees of oppression, there are degrees of possession, there's a degree of obsession. It's better to say demonized so you cover the whole gamut, because unless the Lord speaks to you, you don't know where they are. From 1 to 10, you don't know. So they're demonized. And this man was demonized, and when the man that was praying put his hands on him, the demon spoke up and said, you can't cast me out, he likes me. And the man said, I do like you. You can't help him. You can't help him. But what is going to run that demon off? Intercession. Intercessory prayer. And no demon in hell can tell you not to pray. Now, you know 1 Corinthians 10 that talks about bringing down strongholds. What happens is you entertain thoughts that you shouldn't be entertaining. You build a castle in which that demon or that devil can hide. He hides there. One stone at a time, one stone at a time. A stronghold is a castle, a fortress, a place of refuge. And in our thought life, that's why it says casting down imaginations, casting down those thoughts. It is by thoughts contrary to the word of God. See, we have resources. It is by entertaining thoughts contrary to the word of God that we build a stronghold. But it is through intercession, praying for another. You don't have to have their permission. If we're going to pray in agreement, you have to be in agreement. Well, we can't pray in disagreement. Two men were praying, and one was saying, oh, Lord, some way, somehow, some way. He just went on and on until the other man said, stop that this minute. Jesus is the way, the Holy Ghost is the how. Get over it. You have to pray in faith, and the people with you have to be in faith. Now, you remember when Peter and John were arrested in Acts chapter 3 for healing of the man at the gate called Beautiful? And they were arrested and then loosened the next day because it was obvious that the man had been healed and the authorities didn't know what to do. They couldn't say he hadn't been healed. They couldn't say a miracle hadn't been done. and the man was running up and down the temple at Solomon's Gate, and he was everywhere so they could see that. So they let him go. And it says they went to their own company. Now, if you go to your own company, you go to somebody that's in agreement with you that believes what you believe. Now, if I was in a store, I was in a store, and the store was empty, except Wayne and I looked around to make sure that, because if you embarrass people, they won't let you help them. And nobody there but us. And this lady was limping, and I said, did you hurt your leg somehow? And she said, yes, she blah, blah, blah. I forget what she did. And I said, can I pray for you? She kind of looked around. She said, yeah. Well, I guess, sure. She's in agreement, sort of. She's doing her best. So I said, now where exactly does it hurt? Would it bother you if I put my hand on the sword of the side of the pain? She said, no, go ahead. See, I'm seeking her agreement. You can't fight with disagreement. Well, I prayed. And I thanked her for letting me pray, and I don't know what happened to her. But I did what I thought was right. I represented the gospel. Now, there would be a time when your heart would say, forget it and move on. Don't waste your time here. So what are you going to do? You're going to intercede. You don't have to have their permission to intercede. In our community, there was this little man whose son had died, his older son, his son lived at home. I think he may have had a mental challenge. I'm not sure, but he was gone. And when the older man was introduced to Christ, he wouldn't accept Christ. He said, "No, my son went to hell, and I'm going to be with him. I'm going to be with him." And Wayne's dad was a wonderful, wonderful gospel witness, wonderful. And he talked to the man, explained to him, "Your son knows his error, and he wouldn't want you to come where he is." But as far as we know, he stuck with that. There are a lot of people you can help. You needn't fret over those you can't help. But intercession is when you pray. Abraham didn't say, "Well, I know these people don't want to be rescued." He prayed. Intercession. Now, Galatians chapter 4. Hallelujah. Verse 19. This is the words of Paul. The church at Galatia was leaning very heavily to go back to the law and the commandments and the old covenant. And Paul wrote this to them, "My little children," that means they are born again, "of whom I travail," that's intercession, "in birth again until Christ be formed in you." Now you see, he had travailed, so they were born into the kingdom. They were born into the kingdom because of his praying. Some people aren't going to come until you pray. Now, when you begin to pray, you don't have to wait for two goosebumps in a row. You don't have to feel some unusual unction. You begin to pray because you think it's right. And if the Holy Ghost is with you, you'll know that. You'll notice right away that there'll be divine unction. There'll be something happening here. Wow. He said, "I travail in birth again till Christ be formed in you." In other words, now he sees that they came into the kingdom through his prayer, through his travailing prayer. In other words, the Holy Ghost took hold together with him. The Holy Ghost took hold together with him as he prayed. He could see they're entangled in old covenant law and they're inclined to stay in that position. So he prays for them. And then he sees that they don't grow up. They don't mature. Some people will never be anchored in God until you pray. Now, how am I going to know that? I'm going to start praying because it seems right. And the Holy Ghost comes along and you think, "Yeah, it was right. That's it. That's it. That's what we do. That's what we do." He prayed them into the kingdom. And now he's praying that they grow up. And you're going to be able to pray for sick people to be well. You see? We're going to just start praying by faith because it seems right. And then the Holy Ghost dwells in you. He's in you. He lives in here. And he's going to give us divine unction. Now look at Isaiah 66:8. Let me give you another reference. Has anybody ever told you any of these things before? No. I thought I heard a yes. That was good. "Who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day?" In other words, the growth on the earth takes some time. You know that. Plant a flower. It takes time. "Shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as," watch this, Zion is the church. 66:8, "as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children." What caused the church to give birth to children of God? As soon as Zion travailed. There are people that will not be born again if somebody doesn't travail in prayer for them. If I had somebody that was dragging their feet for a long time, I was deep in sin, I'd call their name before the Father, and I'd begin to pray in other tongues to see if the Holy Ghost would connect with me. Now, a lady came to me, her son was in trouble with the law, and I just assumed he was innocent the way she brought it to me, and so I'm new at prayer. I was brand new, but I'm going to pray. I know I'm going to pray for his attorney, that he gets an excellent attorney who represents him well. I'm going to say some things. I'm going to pray with my understanding. That's why I'm just going to pray with my mental capacity. Here's what's wrong with prayer by mental capacity. You're going to short out eventually. Now, I see people do that. We were raised in a denominational church, and they called on Brother So-and-so to pray. And then if everybody prayed, we all prayed a sentence prayer, and they went in a circle, and you said a sentence, and you said a sentence, and you said, you know, they... We didn't have united prayer, which is in Acts chapter 4, when everybody prays together. It says they went to their own company, And they lifted up their voice. This is after Peter and John were released from prison. They lifted up their voice. They prayed in unity, and they all prayed the same concept, the same idea that God would grant signs and wonders to be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus, and the word of God would go forth in boldness. And everybody, the whole unity of them, prayed that prayer together. It's a wonderful way to pray. Well, I would just begin to pray in my understanding. I found out I short out more than I don't. I don't know how smart you are, but... So if I start in other tongues, I start by praying in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 14:14, I will pray with my understanding, I'll pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is always listed first. Do you know why it's always listed first? Because it's superior to praying in your understanding, because in your understanding, and I've watched people try to say it right in English, been there myself. So when somebody calls the house or leaves me a message, or I promise to pray about something, first of all, if you ask me for prayer, I'm going to pray right then on the spot. So I at least did that much, because I'm like anybody else, I might forget. And then I'm going to go home. And as I'm praying in the Spirit, sometimes you pray in the Spirit and then understanding comes to you. There's an understanding in the Spirit that surpasses your mental capacity. You didn't understand it. You didn't get it until you started praying in other tongues. Then it came to you. So I'm dependent. And so then I take my phone. If it comes to me in English, I pray in the Spirit. If it comes to me in English and it comes to me in the Spirit, I'm going to send you a text with two or three or four sentences in English, because you can't hold on very well to faith in other tongues, because you don't know what you're holding on to. Now, this kid, you remember him? His mother gave me the circumstances. I assumed he was innocent. And as she left, she turned and waved at me. She said, "Oh, yeah, he's guilty." Now I'm totally lost as a goose in a snowstorm. I have no idea how to pray for a guilty man. So I was going to a prayer meeting. So I turned that request in. They began to pray. And they prayed in the Spirit. When you pray in the Spirit, the Holy Ghost is helping you to pray. The Holy Ghost is not praying. One lady told me she didn't have to pray anymore because the Holy Ghost did her praying. Oh, please. How dumb can you get and still breathe? He's going to give you unction. He's going to help you to pray. And then when you get in the Spirit in other tongues, sometimes he will give you, it might be a word, a sentence, or a paragraph in English, and you hold fast to it. It's easier to hold fast to your known language when it comes from the Spirit than it is to hold fast in other tongues. Because all you can say is, "Well, we did pray in other tongues about that." Well, you don't have an answer that you can hold on to. You don't have anything concrete. So they prayed, they read the crest, and they prayed, they began praying, and I'm praying away in other tongues. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice say, "Mercy, have mercy." And I thought, that is me, I'm hollering. You know, I'm new at Pentecost. I was 30 years old, brand new at Pentecost, raised in a denominational church. Never heard of anything past Father, Son, Holy Ghost, these three or one. That's all I knew. And then I realized, that's the word of the Lord. That's the will of God. When I prayed in the Spirit, I stepped into the English. If I start in English, I'm going to fumble the ball most of the time. And I see that happen over and over and over again. You understand that? And so we prayed. And I thanked the Lord. And see, now every time I think about him, I think, "Oh, thank you for mercy. Thank you, you have mercy. Thank you, have mercy." I wouldn't ordinarily pray for a guilty man to have mercy. You want to know the truth? That wouldn't have crossed my mind. But now I do. You will never guess what happened. You wouldn't guess in 1,000 years. And I don't think the Lord did this for him. I think he did it for his mother. That's what I think. He was the last man, last person on the judge's docket for the day. And the judge had started early in the morning, and it's 6 o'clock when he comes up. And the judge is exhausted, and he said to him, "You go home, I'll catch you next time." God has a way of working everything out. He worked it out. But I had English. I didn't start in the English because I didn't know, I wouldn't have known to pray for mercy. I interceded for him. We prayed in other tongues. Now look at 1 Corinthians 14. Now, I've prayed for people. I pray in other tongues, and you don't get any words, but you have a sense of it. You have a witness in your spirit that they're going to be all right. They're going to be fine. And so I would just text that. I would say, you know, I prayed for your uncle, and I have a real deep sense in the spirit that he'll be fine. I didn't know that before I prayed in tongues. Because you have to connect with the Holy Ghost. You have to connect with the Holy Ghost. He's the one who's helper. He's the helper. Now it says, I just want you to look at it for yourself, 14:14. If I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. Have you noticed your understanding, your mind, is frequently unfruitful? Have you ever been to the refrigerator, open the door, and you can't remember why you're standing there? I go down the hall to get something and come back with something else and don't even have the thing I went to get. You ever done that? I have. And Wayne will say, where is that? I forgot it. He knows that's what I went for. Old age gives greater definition to these twain shall be one flesh, because it takes both of us to accomplish anything anymore. I have to have a helper, and sometimes he has to have a helper. We're going to Suzanne's. We come out the driveway. He turns right. I said, we were going to Suzanne's. He went, oh, right, yes. He has to back up and go left. Because it takes two. We twain are one flesh, and that's how that works. Your mind, you have to have, did you watch The Mind Meld on, what was that, Star Trek or Star Wars? Who knows? I had Wayne record it. I may still have it somewhere. I'm not a TV watcher, per se. But they had this man, they needed to do something official for him, and his mind was not sound. And so they took the man whose mind was sound, Spock, I think it was, whose mind was very sound, and they traded minds. They had a mind meld, they call it. They traded minds so that the old man that they needed, they had to have him because of his official standing in the past. So the old man had the mind of the young man. He had the mind. Are you at that? When you pray in the Spirit, you have the mind of the Lord. That was the most helpful religious program I ever saw. I thought, look at that, look at that. I still get excited thinking about it. Every now and then, Wayne and I have to mind meld. When you pray in the Spirit, you pray from your spirit, and you pray with the Holy Spirit, who is your helper, and he gives you divine unction. And it always says, verse 15, I'll pray with the Spirit, I'll pray with the understanding also. There's nothing wrong with praying in the understanding. Listen to this. If you have any understanding. You got that? If you understand it. And sometimes we're sure we understand it, and guess what? When it all irons out and it's solved, you think, that's not what I thought at all. Now, when I pray for someone who's sick or ill, I'm going to pray first in the Spirit. I want God's voice to hear it. I want His Word to be real. I want to head in the right direction. Wayne and I, my brother was a college student. He's quite a bit younger than I am. And we went 1 year. He's a grown man, you understand now. But we went to a convention in Oklahoma and came back through Texas to visit him. It's amazing. He had done everything in the world to make a living so he could keep himself in college. And Daddy had done his part. And he had wrecked his car. He actually didn't do it. A lady ran a red light and hit him, broadside him, and demolished his car. Was demolished. Well, that was on a Monday. On a Thursday or Friday, see, the Holy Ghost knows. He knows who you can help. He knows what voice you should voice. He knows what the answer is. He knows. If you knew, you wouldn't need him. That's just the truth. So I began to sense, and I told Wayne, Philip may die. He's going to die. And I began to pray, doing all I could to protect his life. And I prayed a lot Thursday, a lot Friday, and a lot Saturday. But by Monday, there's a sense when you've prayed enough. You know when you've come to the end. That's enough. You don't have to lord her. It's enough. So Monday, I called a lady that was praying with me at the time. This is decades ago. And I said, could you come help me pray for my brother? And she said, and she's well-meaning, she said, well, maybe that means spiritual death. No, no, no. You're not going to. Spiritual death was eliminated the day you got born again. I said, no, it's physical. And we prayed all morning till about 1 in the afternoon. And I was satisfied. I said, I think we've done what we can do. So Tuesday morning, my mother called, and she says, I have good news and bad news. She said, somebody broadsided Philip, and his car's demolished. Well, they had to pry him out, but when they pried him out, he was in A-plus condition. See, sometimes God doesn't solve it the way you thought he would. I would have eliminated the entire accident if you'd asked me how I'd have done it. I said, let's just don't have an accident. Let's park this lady at Kroger's or somewhere. Let's send her to, you know. But the Holy Ghost said, as you intercede, you place yourself in a position. Look at Romans 8, where the Holy Ghost can help you. Where he can help you. And that's what Romans 8:26 says. Now, if you come to me and you're sick and you want prayer and you're in faith, we'll just agree in faith. We don't have to. But even after we agree in faith, maybe there's some obstacle or something comes up that you hadn't anticipated, that we hadn't discussed. And I begin to sense that in the Spirit. There's something more than we discussed and we agreed on that day. And I'll begin to pray in the Spirit. See, we're Spirit-led. We pray first in the Spirit and then with the understanding. You have more understanding after you prayed in the Spirit. If you're starting in your understanding, I've seen people start that way over and over again, and they begin to search for words. Everybody's done that, so it's not throwing a stone anywhere. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. So what is the chief infirmity in praying? You don't know what to say. You don't know what the solution is. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. It doesn't say we don't know to pray. It means we don't know what to say. But the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That means the Holy Spirit is into words and sounds. Well, people don't like that, but I didn't write it. And you're into sounds. You said, oh, my foot. Oh, 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 oh. Wayne, my foot. Oh, my foot. Don't tell me you're not into sounds. If you can be into sounds, you're like God. God can be into sounds. And sometimes he just makes sounds. I was asked to go visit a lady that had cancer. And I didn't know her, but I called and told me how I'd gotten her name, and I said, could I come? And her mother was taking care of her. She was married with children, but she needed assistance, and I went. I went several times until her mother called and said, don't come back anymore. See, I'm trying to talk her into living, and they've settled it in their heart. They want to die. She's finished. You don't have any problem with that. I'm going to pray that the Lord comes quickly for you and you don't suffer a prolonged death. You want to go? I'll help you. They didn't want me to come back. They didn't want to hear from me. Well, it was a day there was a prayer meeting here. It must have been a Tuesday. I was not here, but I was home. I began to pray, and I began to sense her in the Spirit. See, the Holy Ghost knows everything, and he's going to impart part of his knowledge to you so you can intercede, so you can be their Johnny on the spot for them. And I began to pray, and I fell into funny sounds and groanings. I was past English. I started in tongues. I always start in tongues. I found out my English is in, especially if you're going to pray for government. Who knows? Past help, oh Lord, help. I don't know. You can't pray against people. I see people that, you'd be inclined, but no, that's not scriptural. You can't play against people. So I got to have help. So we went to the funeral. The lady next to me sobbed and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I'm not against that. If I had a Kleenex, I'd have given it to her. I'm not an emotional person. If you are, that doesn't bother me. You are who you are. You got that? So afterwards, she was standing by us at the cemetery, and I said, you must have known her well. She said, I was there when she died. I was her friend. I was there when she died. And she said, I keep hearing her voice. When she died, she was saying a particular thing over and over and over again. The day I prayed in my living room and fell into a travail so strong, I kept saying that very same sentence over and over and over again. That's how I knew God led me to pray in the Spirit what I would not ordinarily have prayed, that she be released from her body. And she had they had gotten her a small Bible because she couldn't read, she couldn't hold the big one. They got a real small Bible. It was brand new, and there was only one verse underlined in it. I looked at it, and it was in the Psalms. It says, Thou will take me into heaven. See, I wouldn't have known. I didn't know to release her. I didn't know we can't help her. I didn't know she doesn't want help. What's the Holy Ghost in you? Said, He helps our infirmities. The Spirit makes intercession for us with groaning, so it might be in the Spirit, in other tongues. You can talk in the Spirit. When you receive the English from the Spirit, you are in the Spirit, even though you're in your known language. You're still in the Spirit. You got that. He that searches the heart knows what's the mind of the Spirit. See, the Spirit's in me, and He's leading me in the direction of the mind and the will of God. So that I can be of help. Now, it said in Isaiah and again in Galatians, he said, I travailed in birth again till Christ be formed in you. He travailed the first time for them to come into the kingdom. Some people aren't going to move without travailing prayer. Some people, you read them scripture and they're going to say, that's what I want. And some people you got to drag to the finish line and say, this is what you want. But He leads. The Holy Spirit's in you to lead you. He's there to help you. He doesn't pray for you. He helps you to pray accurately. And you start in the Spirit, and then you get understanding from the Spirit, so you're still in the Spirit, though you've changed to your known language. And then you can have groanings or unusual sounds. Now, a gentleman that we knew was epileptic. He had had some trauma, and we were going to pray. Wayne and I was praying. And I kept going, you've never seen an epileptic, but we have those in our, anyway, moving on. I told Wayne, see, I can stop praying. I'm perfectly fine. It's when I get in the Spirit that He's leading me to carry this man past this seizure. He called me later in another occasion. He said, I had to pull off the road. I'm in McDonald's. I said, are you having trouble? And he said, yes. I said, let's call your wife and have her come to you. Don't move. Don't you try to drive. See, because I knew him. But that day I carried him in the Spirit. And I knew it was a seizure I was carrying him past. I knew it by the groanings that the Spirit gave me. You understand that? Now, you can pray by unction of the Spirit. Just in faith, say, Lord, you said that no weapon formed against me will prosper, and that's what I believe. You said you're my physician, and it's health you bring to me. You said I'm your beloved, and you want me to prosper and be in health. I pray the word. The word is perfectly adequate. The word works. I believe the word. That's all I need right now. I can get you to pray with me if I'm, and I had several problems where if Wayne hadn't been there to pray with me and for me, I really needed help. I had a sciatic nerve dilemma that was mind-blowing. If you've ever done that, don't ever do that. And so He helped me. But I can pray for you whether you like it or not. Do you get that?